come to the throne of grace today, God. We just thank you for who you are. God, thank you for a group of people whose hearts are bent toward you. That God, that gives a portion back to you of what you've so richly blessed us with. God, I pray that the tithe and the offering that was gathered today, God, that it be used for the very intents and purposes that it was given for, and that is to make your name great. So God, we pray your choices, blessings on those who have made the decision to give back to you today. So we just thank you for all that you're going to do. We give you praise, we give you glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray, let everyone say amen. Amen. So we are starting a brand new sermon series. This new sermon series is really dear to my heart because the book of Nehemiah is one of my favorite books, and just the lessons that we're going to learn from this book, from this great man of God. And so if you can, let's all stand. And so our sermon series is called Let's Build Together. And you might want to highlight this. The theme of this series that you're going to continue to hear over and over again comes from the second chapter and verse 18. It says, let us arise and build. And I believe for Connect Church and where we are and what God has called us to do and the position that we find ourselves in, I think this is a clarion call for us as a church, for us to really grab hold to and to commit to this sermon series, and that is, let's build together. Let's build together. Because we know this church turns 20 years old on this year. And throughout the 20 years of this church, God's hand has always been with Connect Church. And so I'm looking for a group of people. God is looking for a group of people that want to lock arm in arms with us, and let's build together. And so if you can turn to the book of Nehemiah, the first chapter. And I'm going to read verses 1-4 just to get us started. But today we're going to camp out in verses 1-11. And if you're a good class, we can get through all 11 verses today. If not, by you being here, you committed to coming back to next week. Amen. All right, if you have it, say, I have it. If I don't have it, say, hold up. The book of Nehemiah, first chapter, first verse. I'm going to read from the NLT. It says, these are the memoirs of Nehemiah, son of Hakaliah. He said, in late autumn, in the month of Kislev, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes' reign, he says, I was at the fortress of Susa. Hanani, one of my brothers, came to visit with me, with some of the other men who had just arrived from Judah. Underline that. I asked them about the Jews who had returned there from captivity and how things were going in Jerusalem. Please underline that. They said to me, things are not going well for those who return to the province of Judah. They are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem have been torn down, and the gates have been destroyed by fire. This next part, please highlight and underline. He says, when I heard this, I sat down and I wept. He says, in fact, for days I mourned, fasted, and prayed to the God of heaven. Man, if we can we throw up the Connect Church statement? All right, on three. One, two, three. Connect Church exists to make disciples of Jesus Christ who love God, love people, and impact the world. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to the throne of grace today. God, we just thank you, God, for this word that we found today, God. I pray, God, that this word today falls on the good soil of our hearts. Not on the stony places and not on the rocky places, but God, this word today, that it germinates and it brings a harvest, God, in our lives. And God, here I stand, your servant, with one request and one request only. God, wear me like a glove. Use me, God, for the very intents and purposes that you created me for, and that is to make your name great. And so, God, I just give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Let everyone say amen. Amen. As you take your seats. Children, you are dismissed. There is nothing like the pain of a broken heart. If I was to take a poll today, I know that each person here can remember the person or the incident that really broke your heart. And there's also the pain of seeing someone that you love dearly go through pain and heartbreak as well. It's the people that we know and love that can cause us so much heartbreak and so much pain. Because we see so much in them and we see the possibilities for them. We watch them make one bad decision after another. But those are the people that we love and know and cherish. But what about the people and the priorities of God? Are we just as concerned and heartbroken for what breaks God's heart? What breaks God's heart? You see, when God has to discipline us, in one scripture it says that God's heart was grieved. And are we really, really concerned about the things and the people of God? And today when I read our mission statement, it really just leaped out at me that we come here every Sunday and we say that we exist to love God, love people, and impact the world. And the title of my sermon today is Heartbroken. Does the things and the people of God and the kingdom of God, does it really break your heart to see the state that we're in? When you see people, when you see and hear about human trafficking, does that really break your heart? When you know and when you come in contact with someone that you know is far away from God, does that really, really break your heart? When you see couples going through struggles, when you see people struggling with sexual identity, does that really break your heart? When you see homes being destroyed, does it really break your heart? When you walk into this church building, knowing the situation that we're in right now, does it really break your heart? Or are we so caught up into our own challenges, our own struggles, our own careers, our own families, that we can't see no further than that? So today, what I really want to do, and for us to build together, like this shirt says, let us build together, the first thing that we have to do, that we must do, is we must search our hearts and see, does what breaks God's heart break our heart? Does it break your heart that now Connect Church doesn't have a place to call home? Does it break your heart that we are now confined to certain things that we can do inside the church? Or are you just, I'll come to church on Sunday, leave on Sunday. That's their problem. But does it really move you? This is where, when you turn your Bible to the book of Nehemiah, the first chapter, this is where we find him today. We find Nehemiah serving as the cupbearer to a king. And just out of general concern, he asked a question. He says, how is everyone doing in Judah? You see, what you must understand is that Israel has been in exile because of their disobedience to God, and now they're starting to return from exile. And as they're returning from exile, they find that things are not the way that it used to be. And as I was studying this, to bring this to our context right now, say if you was to go off on a long vacation, you go on a cruise for 2 weeks, you, the wife and kids, and the dogs. Y'all go on a 2 week vacation and you come back and your house is not the way you left it. Your house has been burned. The front door has been kicked in. And everything inside of your house is gone. This is where we find the prophet today in this first chapter. And so we find that Jerusalem doesn't look like how they left it. And the first thing that I see in this text is that I see concern from Nehemiah. He was concerned because the text says, I asked them about the Jews who had returned from captivity, and I just asked them, how's everything going? Because see, he's the cupbearer to the king. He's way off somewhere. And just so happened, they come to see him, and he inquires out of concern. And it's one thing to be concerned, but here's my first point that I want to talk about today is does your concern lead to brokenness? Does your concern for God and the things of God and the priorities of God, does it lead from just concern to brokenness? Does it really, really break your heart? That the walls have been torn down. And he says, they said to him, things are not going well for those who had returned from the province of, who have returned to the province of Judah. I like what it says in Jeremiah 8. It says this, it says, I hurt with the hurt of the people. He says, I am overcome with grief. Does it grieve you to see other people going through? It's one thing to be concerned, and you know how we have the church. There's a lot of church vernacular and a lot of church sayings that we just say because we've said them so long, they've become so ingrained that when somebody says, oh, you know, I'm going through a hard time. Oh, I'm so sorry. That's church concern. You don't have to raise your hand. I know all of us, we play the church concern. But does it really break your heart when God's people are going through? Because see, here's the problem that Judah returned to. The walls had been torn down, and the gates to the city had been kicked in. God, I hurt my hamstring. The walls have been kicked in. And I was watching the movie Troy about a week or two ago. And in Troy, as you know, if you know anything about it, Troy had these huge walls. And man, they were really proud of the fact that no one had breached their wall. And the only way that someone was able to breach the walls was they sent the Trojan horse. But during that time, walls represented protection. Here it is, these people are coming back, and they're coming back to a place that's unprotected, that's uncovered. Are you concerned about the homelessness that we are experiencing in this country? Are you concerned about the children homeless? Are you concerned about that there are children that go to school and don't, after they eat at school, that may be the last time that they eat? Does that really concern you? There's no protection. And so here's what I want to ask us today is, does your concern lead to brokenness, which leads to a divine interruption? Because you have to remember, Nehemiah is in the royal court. He's comfortable. He's fat and happy. All of his bills are paid. He has no concerns. He's a trusted individual in the king's court. But yet, when he finds out what's going on in Jerusalem, it breaks his heart. So let's keep reading. Verse 5 says this. He says, "Then I said, O Lord God of heaven, great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of unfailing love with those who love him and obey his commandments." You see, his concern and his brokenness led him to prayer. His concern and his brokenness led him to his knees. We have prayer every Wednesday at 7 a.m. A group of us get together and we pray for Connect Church. We pray for you. We pray for your families. We pray for Connect Church. But there's a small contingent of us. You see, when you're concerned, it leads to brokenness, which will lead you to prayer. And can I ask a question, and please don't show hands? Are you the only person that you pray for earnestly? Are you the only person that when you're experiencing difficulties, when you're experiencing troubles, you earnestly pray for you? But when you hear about the concerns and the brokenness of others, you do something you pray like. This is where Nehemiah finds himself. He comes down from comfort. He goes to his knees and he prays for Israel. He prays for Judah. But look at how he prays and what he prays for. He says, "I confess that we have sinned against you. Yes, even my own family and I have sinned." And what he's saying is, God, I know that Israel, they sinned against you, and that's why they were in exile. And God, even though I wasn't with them, God, I have sinned also. And he says, "We have sinned terribly by not obeying the commands, the decrees, and the regulations that you gave your servant." He says, "God, please remember what you told your servant Moses." This is something here I'm going to give you, and this ain't even in my notes. When you pray, pray God's word back to him. If you don't know how to pray, pray God's word back to him. The text says that he says, God, please remember what you told your servant. And what he told his servant was this. He says, if you are unfaithful to me, I will scatter you among the nations. God was faithful to that. He scattered them. He sent them into exile. He says, but this is the second part of why you need to pray God's word. He says, but if you return to me and obey my commands and live by them, catch this, please highlight this. He says, then even if you are exiled to the ends of the earth, he says, no matter how far I send you into exile, the text says that I will bring you back to the place that I have chosen to honor my name. That's the prayer that he prayed. And I'm telling you, this is a key. If you don't know what to pray for and how to pray, just pray God's word back to him. God, your word says. He says, the people you rescued by your great power and strong hands, God, remember that we're your servants. You got to understand, this is a cupbearer to the king praying for other people. He says this in verse 11. He says, oh Lord, please hear my prayer. Listen to the prayers of those who delight in honoring you. And here it is, please highlight this. He says, please grant me success today by making the king favorable to me. Put it in his heart to be kind to me. Somebody ought to catch that. Because here it is. His concern and his brokenness did not lead him to sit on his seat, but his concern and his brokenness led him into action. And here's the thing that we must understand as believers, as followers of Jesus Christ, our action is, our first response to anything is we go to God in prayer. We go to our knees first. And that's why I'm asking you, with the situation that we find ourselves in here at Connect Church, are you going to your knees to pray for us for favor in the situation that we're in now? Or are you just going to be happy with being a consumer? Is your brokenness and concern going to lead you to action? Because here's the thing. What moves God in Psalms 51 17, it says this. It says, the sacrifice you desire is a broken spirit. You will not reject a broken and repentant heart, O God. You see, when you're broken for the things of God, God honors that. And it should move you to action. But now here's the other thing I want you to see. Did you see how in verse 11, it says, please grant me success today by making the king favorable to me. Here's what a lot of us don't understand is that God has placed us in our positions, our different careers, our different stations in life. God has placed us there. We're on assignment. But look what Nehemiah did. He prayed for God to use the influence that God has given him in the king's court to benefit the kingdom. Okay, I see the look on your face. You're not in the profession that you're in just for you. You have influence in whatever you do. You have some degree of influence. The question becomes then, are you going to use the influence and the credibility that you have to help those who are broken, to help those who are in distress? The question is, God, how can my influence in my school? God, how can my influence in my office? God, how can my influence on the football team or the soccer team? God, how can this influence help you? Help further the kingdom? Because we must understand that we have to use the influence and the positions that God has placed us in to further the kingdom of God. And that's what Nehemiah does. And this leads me to this next point is what drives you? Is it your passions or is it your purpose? What drives you? Are you driven by just your passions? Or is it your purpose? And some of you say, man, I'm really trying to find my purpose in the kingdom. I'm really trying to find my purpose in following God. Why am I a believer? Why am I here? I know as a believer that I'm eternally secure, that I'm going to heaven, that if I die today, I know where I will spend eternity. And that's awesome. But God, what else do you have for me to do? God, where do I fit in your story? God, I'm tired of just going to church to go to church Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. God, where do I fit in the grand scheme of what you're doing on this earth? And here's why I asked that question. Look at verse 11. At the last part of verse 11. After he had done all of this praying, it started with concern. He did all of this praying. Look at the last part of verse 11. The last part of verse 11 says this. And if you rush right over it, you won't get the significance of it. He said, in those days, I was a cupbearer. I was the king's cupbearer. And when you read that, I asked myself this. I said, why didn't he lead the conversation off with that? Why didn't the text start out that I'm the cupbearer of the king, king of Susa? I am the cupbearer of the king, and because I'm the cupbearer of the king, I did this. You see, how you lead your life, what you lead with, is what guides you. He didn't lead with anything about himself. He didn't lead with, I did this and I did that. He led with his concern for God and God's people. And he closes out and he says, this is why I'm the cupbearer of the king. And as you're going to see on next week, this one little sentence, you're going to see how significant that is, because now he's going to use his influence. To solve a problem. You see, we got to understand that when there are issues and when there are problems in this earth, God uses who? God uses people. God is God. God could just come in all of a sudden and just make everything in one fell swoop. Everything could be right, fair, and all of that. But God uses us as his tools and his instrument to make his name great in this earth. But the question becomes, are you going to just be concerned? Are you going to be broken? And after your heart has been broken, are you going to move into action? And so as we begin this new sermon series, and we're searching our hearts, I really want you to search your heart. In your quiet time, in your devotional time, I really want you to search your heart and be honest with yourself. God, does what break your heart break my heart? And if it does, God, how can I move into action? What can I do, God? What could I do? And so what does this mean for Connect Church? As we say each Sunday, we want to impact the community. And I'm not standing here telling you that we can't impact the community without a facility. We all know that the church is that the building is not the church. But our track record shows that when we have a place to meet and we have a place to serve the community, that we honor God with that. And so we need a place of our own. We need a foundation of our own. And we have 2 years to do it. But if we tried to do it individually, it would not work. So here's what I'm asking us to do. Let's arise and let's build together. But here's what we're going to build, though. We're going to first start with building ourselves. We're going to pray and ask God to make our hearts more pliable to him. To make our hearts more pliable to the concerns of others. We're going to build ourselves. We're going to build up others. That's why we gather the way that we gather. That's why we have life groups and discipleship groups, so that we can build others. And then together, we're going to build a kingdom. And so that's our challenge, and that's what I hope that you walk away with, and that you embrace this, and that together, man, we can do anything. As long as God goes with us, and his track record has shown for over 20 years that God has been with us. Even when we make the wrong decisions, even when our decisions don't turn out the way that they should, God has been with and will continue to be with us. And so over these next 52 days, I want you to really take in these 52 days of devotion. Each day, they're going to be a different devotion each day. And I really want us to hone in. And man, let's build this thing together. Amen? Look, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to the throne of grace today, God. We just thank you for who you are. God, thank you for the example of Nehemiah. God, someone who was in a high and lofty position, but because his heart was always pliable to you, God, he took his concern. He moved from being concerned to being just outright broken about the state of the children of Israel. And from this brokenness, God, he took action. And so, God, I pray as we go into these next 52 days, God, I pray that you search our hearts and we open our hearts so that, God, we could see our part in your story. God, that you would mold and bend our hearts, God, and cause us to really feel for the things that break your heart. And God, I just thank you that when we do this, we're going to see you move like never before. We're going to see your name made great. We're going to see lives impacted. We're going to see transformation taking place, God. God, we're going to see you move because our hearts are open and pliable to you. So we just give you praise. We give you glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.